Let me begin this broadcast with a quote from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. The Apostle Paul wanted the Ephesian Christians to know something that is very relevant for our time. This is what he said in those verses. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. The Apostle Paul wanted Christians not to be deceived by false teaching. Here he said, it's nothing but empty words, as eloquent as they might present it, as influential as they may be, if you would read it in a book. Don't be deceived by empty words that would state that the immoral, the impure, or the greedy has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Today what I would like to do is discuss the carnal Christian teaching of eternal security. According to many popular teachers of our day, there is a type of Christian that acts the same exact way as a child of the devil. But he's not a child of the devil. He's a Christian. He's a son of God, saved by grace, bound for heaven, on the road to life, and he can never get off the road to life. And the people who teach this way are the eternal security teachers. And they call this type of person, acting exactly like a child of the devil, a carnal Christian. Charles Stanley is especially outspoken regarding this type of so-called Christian. Listen to what Charles Stanley himself said about all of this.
So sometimes out of ignorance or whatever it might be, they attempt to gratify and meet those needs the same way they did before they were saved, and therefore you can't tell a carnal believer from a lost man. That is, you can't tell the cold from the carnal, because the truth is they're both acting the same way. Now, one of them is in Christ and one of them isn't. One of them is lost and the other one is in Christ. One of them knows about God and knows Him in the experience of salvation. The other doesn't know Him at all.
Besides Stanley, we have another very influential radio teacher, Chuck Swindoll. Listen to what he said about the carnal Christian.
And it may surprise some of you to hear this, because you weren't perhaps raised under this theology. Fourth, the carnal Christian resembles non-Christians. If there is one truth I would love to be able to convince the non-Christian of, it's that truth, aside from the gospel.
And if that's not enough, here is Tony Evans again describing, from their theological point of view, the carnal Christian.
In the previous series, we explained that a carnal Christian is a genuine Christian who is living and looking like the world in actions, attitudes.
Now, at a different time, Tony Evans stated this, quote, "The carnal Christian is characterized by rejection of the Christian faith. If you stay on the road to carnality long enough, you will apostatize, that is, you will fall away from the faith. You will wind up denying Christianity. You will wind up looking like the rankest of sinners, okay? Can a Christian go so far as to become a rank sinner in his actions? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, a Christian can." Unquote. Well, according to their theology of once saved, always saved, they would say absolutely, yes, it can occur. But remember what the Apostle Paul taught in Ephesians 5, 5 through 7. "Of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them." So even though the Apostle Paul was writing people that had already been saved, and he told them in chapter 2 they were saved by grace, he wanted them to know that if they became like these people, immoral, impure, and greedy, if they were partners with them, well then God's wrath will come on them for their disobedience. In other words, one's behavior is extremely important regarding all this, which is flatly denied by the things you just heard Charles Stanley and Chuck Swindoll and Tony Evans declare. And may I add, openly, boldly, authoritatively, even though it's wrong. The Apostle John taught something that is clearly contradictory to what Stanley and Swindoll, Evans, and many others want us to think about the carnal Christian. 1 John 3:10 says this. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. What they knew in first century Christianity is flatly denied and opposed by the eternal security teachers of our day. And friends, this was written by one of the Lord's apostles. This is what they believed in the first century Christianity. But this is not the message of our day. Notice John focused in upon behavior, and not for reward's sake, for salvation's sake. He said this is how we can know a child of God and a child of the devil. According to the sinister teaching of eternal security and their carnal Christian doctrine, there are Christian liars, Christian sorcerers, Christian sodomites, Christian murderers, Christian alcoholics, etc. In fact, the next time you hear or read of a serial killer or serial rapist, according to the carnal Christian teaching, that person might be a Christian on the road to heaven, just out of fellowship because of his sin. Of course, he had his moment of faith, then he's still a son of God, and nothing can ever change that. What a religious fairy tale people have been sold. These people should not call themselves preachers. These people are fairy tale tellers. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, 8 through 10, we read this. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kind of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord?" Well, unlike Stanley and Swindoll, Evans, Ryrie, Thieme, and many others, the Apostle Paul agreed with the Apostle John and stated that by one's behavior you can identify a child of the devil. And he knew that Elymas, because he was a sorcerer, because he was trying to turn the proconsul from the faith, that he was unsaved and not just a carnal Christian. Now that's very important. Paul knew a person is saved by grace, but apparently he did not believe in eternal security. The eternal security teachers could never say, as the Apostle Paul did, that this man was a child of the devil and be dogmatic about it. But the Apostle Paul was. People who act like children of the devil are children of the devil. Let me repeat that. People who act like children of the devil are children of the devil. They're not just carnal Christians. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, this is the Apostle Paul's repeated warning to Christians. He wanted these Christians to know about a danger through sin that would stop them from inheriting the kingdom of God. He wanted Christians to know that these sins could stop them from getting into the kingdom of God, because really that's what that means. To inherit the kingdom of God is the same as entering the kingdom of God. But that's never the kind of message that the carnal Christian teachers that we just heard could deliver. Never. Paul noted one's behavior and warned the Christian about sinful behavior, that it could stop them from actually getting to the kingdom. Did you notice how the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5 verse 20 mentioned witchcraft? The same kind of sin that Elymas, the sorcerer, was involved with in Acts 13, 8 through 10. The Bible says a whole lot about witchcraft. Now, sadly, witchcraft is growing, and because it is, many people are being spiritually defiled and deceived. They don't think it's all that bad, especially since Harry Potter has been promoted as it has been, and sadly, many people have been ensnared spiritually because of Harry Potter movies and Harry Potter books, etc. In Revelation 21:8, God said this, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those that practice the magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Notice God mentioned those that practice the magic arts, like Elymas, who the Apostle Paul said was a child of the devil. This type of behavior the Apostle Paul warned the Galatian Christians about. Witchcraft. So don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by eternal security teachers that would want you to think that sorcery or witchcraft is permissible, it's just not profitable. That you can still get into the kingdom in these sins, but you'll lose your reward or you'll lose your fellowship or some lesser thing like that. And while I'm at it, let me also say that this day called Halloween is an abomination. No Christian should have anything to do with Halloween. Halloween has nothing to do with Christianity, but instead is directly related to witchcraft and Satanism. The eternal security teachers would want us to think that the list in Revelation 21:8, you know, the cowardly, unbelieving, vile, murderers, sexually immoral, those who practice the magic arts, idolaters, and all liars, these could be carnal Christians. But that's not how God felt about that. Remember again, Ephesians 5:5-7. Remember those empty words that the Apostle Paul spoke of, and he said, don't be deceived by people speaking empty words regarding these things, the immoral and the impure and the greedy. Don't let anyone deceive you. It doesn't matter if multitudes of others are deceived. Don't you be deceived. Don't just accept somebody because they are on TV, or because that person is your pastor, or because he's a family member, or because you heard it on the radio, or somewhere else. The Bible tells us what the truth is. God's truth is found in the Scriptures. And the Bible tells us, this you can be sure, the immoral, the impure, and the greedy have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let's take warning regarding all this. That same exact Greek word, translated empty in Ephesians 5:6, is also found in Colossians 2:8. And that is where the Apostle Paul wrote this. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. That same word, the Apostle Paul used warning these Christians about hollow and deceptive philosophy. People, in other words, reasoning from the natural to the spiritual, just like the eternal security people do. They say, once you become born, you always remain a son. You cannot become unborn. And they reason like that. They seem oblivious to what the Bible teaches, that a Christian, a true Christian, can die spiritually because of his sin. Well, where do these people, these eternal security people, get this idea in the first place of the carnal Christian? They primarily get this from 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. Let me read that from the New King James Version. This is what the Bible says, quote, for you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one, unquote. Please note the envy, strife, and division was about their favorite preachers. Now, the eternal security people want us to think that the Corinthian Christians were adulterers, drunkards, homosexuals, that they were doing all kinds of things, such as cited in 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. But if you would read those scriptures and just go one verse beyond that, it becomes crystal clear that is an absolute impossibility. Listen to what Paul wrote there. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. And this is the same group he addressed in chapter 3. He said, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Were is past tense. They were those things, they weren't those things anymore. They were different. Their identity changed because they became saved. They repented. There was a clean break from that type of sin. Even though they were drunkards, they were not drunkards anymore. We might say, well, how do you know that? How can you be absolutely certain they were not drunkards anymore? Well, just by reading that passage I just gave you. Paul said such were some of you. But there's even more evidence. In chapter 5, 1 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 9, all the way on down to verse 13. The Apostle Paul wrote this, I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy, and swindlers, or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave the world. But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral, or greedy, an idolater, or a slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. Well, the Apostle Paul is telling these quote-unquote carnal Corinthians, that's if you want to call them that. The Apostle Paul's choice was to use that term, but we must never associate that term with the sins listed in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, Revelation 21, 8, or Ephesians 5, 5 through 7, as the eternal security teachers do. Because the Apostle Paul did not mean to equate that term as it's being used today, or should I say, being misused today. Very clearly, the Corinthians were not these things that are cited here in verse 11. That's 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11. They could not have been sexually immoral, greedy, an idolater, a slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler, or anything like this. Because he told them not to even eat with anybody like that that would profess to be a Christian. So how could they refuse to eat with people like that if they themselves were doing the same exact thing? And then he went on and he said, are you not to judge those inside the church? How often we have heard in our day, judge not lest ye be judged. It seems that most people only know John 3:16 and Ephesians 2:8-9, and judge not lest ye be judged. The Apostle Paul clearly stated right here that Christians are to judge those inside the church and those that profess to be Christian. And we can know positively if a person is a child of God or a child of the devil by their behavior. And if you were listening when I read 1 Corinthians 5 verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, expel the wicked man from among you. Now the context of 1 Corinthians 5 verse 13 would refer all the way on back to verse 1, especially verses 1 through 5. And that is where that unnamed sexually immoral man was right there in the Christian congregation. And here the Apostle Paul identifies that person as wicked. Now, if you're aware of contrasting terms in the Bible, repeatedly, perhaps as many as 30 or 40 times, there is a contrast in the scriptures between the wicked and the righteous. Well, here, this particular term, wicked, is found. In other words, the Apostle Paul was saying, expel the unsaved man, that sexually immoral man that is there in your congregation. Kick him out. The Apostle Paul knew, all based on his behavior, that this person was wicked. This person was not a child of God, in spite of what the eternal security teachers want us to believe. Now remember, Paul said, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. God's wrath will come on even a Christian if a Christian would stray and become disobedient like that. And then the warning, therefore do not be partners with them. Don't join them in their sin. But after the eternal security teachers get done indoctrinating you with their propaganda, with their religious fairy tales, after they reason from the natural to the spiritual and they misuse scriptures, and they want you to think that the Corinthians, that these were carnal Christians, these were people filthy in sin. But they were still saved, out of fellowship, at the expense of their rewards, but still on the road to heaven. How could Paul be sure that these people won't inherit the kingdom? And how could God say in Revelation 21:8 that the people cited in this list, that their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur? I mean, if they ever had a moment of faith, even though they're now sexually immoral, even though they're now practicing the magic arts, or they're a liar, would they not be a carnal Christian because they once had their moment of faith? Would they not be bound for heaven? Why then did God say their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur? Maybe God knows something about this that the eternal security teachers don't know. In fact, God does know something about all this, a whole lot more than the eternal security teachers do. And God wants us to know, most definitely, who is on the road to hell. Because of our website and the book that we have refuting the teaching of eternal security called The Believer's Conditional Security, we have contacted a lot of people over the years. One man in particular came to know the Lord Jesus. He was saved. He walked with God for a time period. And then after a while, he started to cool down and he backslid. He went out into the world, got all caught up in sin, and he lost his salvation. He died spiritually. While he was yet in his sins, while he was unrepentant, some eternal security people told him that he was a carnal Christian. This man came back to the Father, just like the prodigal. He came back to salvation. Even though he was dead and lost, he became alive again. Thank God for his mercy. And this man testified that it did him absolutely no good whatsoever to hear that he was a carnal Christian when he was unrepentant. People like that would be hindered by hearing that kind of message. People that are in these types of sins need to repent for salvation's sake. Reward's sake has nothing to do with it. We're talking about salvation itself. The missing part of the salvation message in our day is you must stay with God. You must remain faithful to God. Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God, and sin can defile you. So after you get born again, you have to stay saved. It's not good enough to get saved. You have to stay saved to actually get into the kingdom according to the Word of God. But of course, all of this is denied by the once saved, always saved teachers. They want us to think something that is deadly, that's a snare and a stumbling block. It's not to your advantage to listen to these people, especially to support that kind of message. It is to your disadvantage, and it's to your family's disadvantage, to take your dear family, your precious family, inside of that congregation where they are going to hear this lie, this myth of eternal security will just trip them up and cause them to stumble down the road. And when a teenager is tempted to be sexually immoral, to be a drunkard, they don't really have the fear of God and the awareness of what sin can do to their soul because of this teaching, and they're much more apt to yield just on that basis alone. We are in a very intense war, and the devil has always used false teaching to damn souls. The purpose of this message is to wake people up. Listen, folks, this is serious. Your soul is precious. It will exist throughout all eternity. And if you turn from God to this type of degree, as cited in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, Revelation 21, 8, Ephesians 5, 5 through 7, you are back on the road to hell. And you need to repent, not for reward's sake, but for salvation's sake. So, dear listeners, you are left with a choice. Will you believe Ephesians 5, 5 through 7, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, Revelation 21, 8, and other scriptures, or those teaching about the carnal Christian such as these two?
Now, I didn't say that the carnal man was lost. I said he acted like a lost man acts. In fact, I've seen some lost folks who acted a whole lot better than some believers I know.
And to put it even more bluntly, you can live just as rotten a life as your worst neighbor or your worst fellow workman at work.
While some might insist that only God can see the heart, the same people refuse to declare that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth will speak, according to Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35. And that one's behavior reflects his faith, that is, if it's a saving faith or a dead faith, based on James chapter 2. And because of these eternal truths, John could write, "This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." 1 John 3, verse 10. Hence, we don't have to see the heart of a person to know if he is a child of God or a child of the devil. His behavior will reveal his identity based on Scripture, in contrast to what the eternal security people want us to believe.
Warning: don't go to hell by believing a false gospel and counterfeit grace message. Order a copy of our 800-page book, The Believer's Conditional Security. This book is the most exhaustive refutation to eternal security ever written. It contains 25 chapters, over 700 footnotes, hundreds of Bible references, more than 195 reference sources, and 13 appendixes. It has scripture and subject indexes and a bibliography. Learn little-known historical facts about the Reformation period. Read contradictions between the big-name eternal security teachers and the biblical refutation to 110 eternal security arguments. Find out how to safeguard your family from the devil's masterpiece, false doctrine.